I'd like to invite you, if you would, to find in your Bibles 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, that is there. It's page 1096, 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 196, or 1096 in the Pew Bible. I was grateful for the experiences of last weekend when the International Mission Board visited us and missionaries were commissioned. I hope that you were a part of that. The crowd on Sunday night was, we know, at least over 1,200, and we had over 100 different churches represented, and we had commitments from over 90 churches, persons from those churches that made commitments that evening. So it was a great weekend. Appreciate you being here with us. If you didn't get to experience it, well, shame on you, because we probably won't be able to host it again for a long, long, long time, but if you did, I know you know it was a great time. The reports I heard from the Sunday school classes was the things that were shared there were precious and memorable. And how could you not get excited, inspired, or moved by the crowd last weekend, or the message, or the testimonies, no matter how brief they were, of those 63 missionaries committing their lives around the world to share the gospel? I was amazed some of the individuals, and certainly the young couples with 4 and 5 children that were going to be going to the mission field, giving up that much to follow after Christ, will, supporting Southern Baptist and representing the Lord there. I guess the greatest challenge for me was how many of them I knew were going to be going to difficult and some dangerous places to commit their lives to serve Christ. Now, with that kind of devotion, hopefully we were moved to pray and moved to maybe even some tears during those testimonies, and hopefully some level of commitment for that. But as your pastor, I know that our church will continue to pray, we will give, and hopefully we will continue the home base, keeping it strong so that we can continue to help send out missionaries around the world. But what I want to talk to you about today is that thing that is required of us. Whenever we have a mountaintop experience, it seems like the preacher always has to stand up and pour water on it because we got to come home to the real life in the valley. I hope I'm not doing that today, but I want to build on what we experienced last week to help us to realize that there's a part we play in all of that, not just sending missionaries overseas. There's a part that you and I play in sharing the gospel where we live, and we must not forsake it. Now, in our day, that is true. In Paul's day, that was true. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, and he encouraged him to keep preaching the gospel. So if you will read with me chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, we're going to read the first 5 verses. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, proclaim the message. Persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I want to talk to you this morning about ministry and missions, and they matter. The first thing I want to share with you is that I think the moment matters. This is something we should not take for granted. In the early verses just before what I read, at the last part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of how he came to faith in Christ through the message of the gospel. And those 4 verses then serve as the impulse for going into chapter 4. In those 4 verses, Timothy first had Jesus revealed to him in the scriptures, and then Jesus brought Timothy to a personal relationship with him because the scriptures taught him. And then Paul issues a challenge to Timothy. He tells him, scripture, it says it's an earnest challenge or a solemn challenge or a serious challenge. But Paul tells Timothy, you've got to keep sharing the gospel. And the necessity of keeping on sharing the gospel is even heightened when Timothy would realize that he does that within the gaze of God the Father and within the observation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Father and the Son are watching us. The Holy Spirit is operative in it. And when we share the gospel, we know we are doing that with the Trinity working with us and partnering with us in helping people to understand the message that we share. Timothy was not free just to live out his Christian life without giving serious regard to the fact that the Trinity was watching over him. And I want us to understand today that the moment matters. We are in a time and in a day when we must share the gospel because time is getting short. If the scriptures are true, and we think they are, we're committed that they are, and the study of Revelation we're doing on Wednesday night is helping us even to understand how quickly Jesus might return. If the time is short, then it is important that we take serious the moment in which we live. Timothy and Paul will both have to answer to God for how they dealt with the gospel in their life. And one of these days, Jesus will come and he will call ministers and missionaries and even all other followers into account for what they've done in regard to the gospel. He already reigns as king according to this passage. And one of these days, he's going to show himself, he's going to appear, and when he appears, he will have full authority and ask us how we have taken seriously the Great Commission to teach about him to all the nations. The missionaries are not alone in this. You and I bear responsibility for sharing the gospel. We have the privilege of sharing the gospel. It is not just up to us to be a part of a group that sends missionaries out. We have to realize that we are missionaries as well. And the time is short, and the day is here. 2 Corinthians 6, Apostle Paul tells us, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. We cannot always think there will be many, many more years ahead for which people will have to accept Christ. Today is the day that they must do that, and we must share. The longer we live, the shorter the time remains to share the truth of the gospel. The moment matters. Not only the moment, but also the message. Paul exhorted Timothy to keep preaching the gospel. It wasn't just to keep on preaching sermons. I know a lot of people, a lot of ministers make money in teaching you 6 easy steps to something or 12 ways to accomplish something. And there is a place for that, I suppose. But let's not lose the message of the gospel and all the popular teachings of the day that sell books at Walmart. To make sure that we're understanding that our task is that the message matters. We need to preach the gospel. Now, evidently, there was some opposition to it in Timothy's day. So Paul tells him, keep proclaiming no matter what the circumstances, no matter if it's convenient or it isn't. In King James, it may say in season and out of season. No matter if people like it, if they're accepting it, if they find it acceptable to even hear or not, it is up to us to keep preaching the gospel. Right now, across our world, there are many places where the gospel has fallen out of favor. We heard that from 2 couples that were missionaries commissioned last weekend that are going to France. Both of them told us that they know they're going to a place where the French people do not even respect the gospel. They no longer think it is relevant to their day and their lives. One of these days, maybe sooner than we like to think, that will be true in America as well. It will not be popular for us to proclaim the gospel, and so we must keep on doing it even if they don't want to hear it. We have experienced the power of God, have we not? When I was a young man coming to Christ, Christ changed my life. And since the time that I was saved years ago, up until now, he keeps working on me. I don't always like it, but he does keep working on me. Anybody else? I mean, you're just talking about my life, not yours, so. Since we've heard the gospel, since it has made a difference in us, we are compelled to share it, despite whatever circumstances there might be, if we long to be obedient. If we don't care about being obedient, then there's no need to worry about it. But the message does matter. And the message is this. We're supposed to, according to Paul, we're supposed to rebuke sin, reprove the sinner, point the finger of the Word of God at sinfulness that men and women are engaged in. When I was a young pastor, I took my youth group from Waterloo, Illinois to Dupo, Illinois, two competing basketball towns. And when we were in the stands at Dupo sitting on our side, and one of our Waterloo players would mess up, foul out, or do something on the court, all the Dupo fans would stand up, point their finger at that player, and say, you. It was embarrassing, and it was humiliating, and even more so since Joyce grew up in Dupo. But we are called upon to rebuke sin, to reprove it, to call it into account. That does not mean that we are called to condemn sinners, but we are called upon to point the finger at sinfulness. We also, according to the Apostle Paul, are to provide correction for problems of mankind. Too many times we just point out what is wrong. We haven't learned enough or dug deep enough into God's Word to know that we can provide an answer for the sinfulness of men and women. We are not only supposed to point out the problem, but also provide a solution to it. And then with the sins of our day, it is not enough for us to close our doors and shut them out and keep them away from us so they don't contaminate us. We must allow sinners to come into the house of God to hear what might be sin in their life and yet trust enough that the Holy Spirit can bring about a change in their life. Paul also states that Timothy should encourage the listeners through patience, through clear and careful instruction. It is not enough just to say, well, that's the way it is. Sometimes when I was a young boy and I'd ask my mom or dad why, they'd say, well, because we're the parents and you're not. When I was little, that was enough. When I got older, that was not quite near enough. And it isn't for us as Christians to say, well, that's just the way the Bible says it should be. Because the world does not believe the Bible. No longer can we think that most of the people around us have even a respect or minimal knowledge of the Bible. So when we declare what it says, we've got to do it with careful instruction, clear instruction, and be patient with them to come to Christ. It's not enough just to say something. We've got to say the right something. And the right something comes from the Word of God, and it is this. Appeal in love to sinners to come to a God who loves them and longs to have a relationship with them. Believe me, the message matters. Too many of our churches across America have forsaken the message. We've got to make sure we hold true to it. Share the gospel. The gospel will save. The third thing that I see in this passage is that ministry matters. Why is it so imperative that we act soon? Why is it imperative that we take the responsibility for sharing the gospel in our day? Why do it now? Can't we wait a while? Paul reminded Timothy that people will not always tolerate hearing the truth. When there's an opportunity and people will listen, we must share the message of the gospel that's entrusted to us. Otherwise, they're going to respond to their earthly and sensual desires. Human beings will crave new things that feed their fleshly appetites. The Bible says it like this. They will go after teaching that tickles their ears, or they have an itch to hear something new. So they will seek to fill their minds with the stuff and the garbage and the junk that will appeal to their lowest and basest self. Paul even uses the idea of humans having a tendency to either flock to or gather around them teachers who will say what they want them to hear, that will tickle their fancy, is a phrase that we've used, to say to them those things that will make them feel good about themselves and support the stuff that they're doing. And so even on the political scene, we see it happen all the time. People will vote for somebody who says what they want them to hear about the lifestyle they have chosen. Let it not be that the church falls into that same pit. People hear things that they want to hear. Time is short. The need is clear. Did you know I spoke to some of the International Mission Board leaders last weekend, of course. One of them told me that they have 1,400 missionaries waiting in the wings to be commissioned. Next year in 2015, they will only have funds, they anticipate, to send 140 new missionaries to the field. That means that 1,300 almost are just waiting, because God's people will not provide the funds to send them. We also have 350 young adults who are certified to be journeymen overseas. And the International Mission Board will only have money to send about 100 of them. God is calling out those that will work the field. Those of us who stay must sacrifice, dig deeper, and give more so that we can send them to the field. This is the day for that. Not tomorrow, not years from now, but now we must take it seriously that ministry matters. When it says that they will go after teaching that tickles their fancy or their ears, it means that if we do not share the message with people, if we do not share the truth, they will go find what they think is truth somewhere else, and they will run away from righteousness and fill themselves with lies, and the scripture says the word myths. That doesn't mean it's just false teaching. It means it's fanciful ideas that have no serious basis, in fact. Now, I tread lightly because I don't want to offend anybody politically, but whatever you may think about the new healthcare laws and systems in America called the Affordable Care Act, you probably have heard that one of the leading consultants to the administration in getting that Health Care Act passed was a man named Jonathan Gruber. He is a professor of economics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that's MIT, where he has taught since 1992. In a video of one of his speeches, he is caught telling Washington University students in St. Louis in 2013 that one important provision of the bill passed because the American people are too stupid to understand the difference. If in the political system they understand that people will not listen, will not pay attention, and easily can be duped into falling for something, how important is it for us to realize that that is true, and we must share the truth? People are falling for anything because we are refusing to stand for something. Eternity is too important. The moment matters, the message matters, the ministry matters, and indeed the messenger matters. Verse 5 tells us the task that Paul is laying out for Timothy is rather daunting. One thing is certain, it's not just the message that must be true, the messenger must be true as well. So Paul tells Timothy to give serious attention to the task that he is facing. He tells him, you must watch yourself carefully and think clearly, soberly, and deeply. Now, I have tried to encourage our young adults and our teenagers to understand the gospel, the message, the Bible, can withstand any force. We do not have to be afraid of it. It has gone under every test, under every scrutiny, and it has stood the test of time. But it does often face great opposition. And the task that we are called to is not a call for the weak and the spineless, if there are any among us, but it is called for us to endure hard times like a soldier, to stand up and take the heat in difficult situations and people. Years ago, when I was serving on the executive committee for Southern Baptist, there is a group called Soul Force that represents the homosexual side of things. And they had contacted all the members of the executive committee and said that they were going to picket at the individual churches represented by those members. And so I got a phone call, and I was told that on such and such a day, we would have members of Soul Force picketing outside of our church. And so I contacted them back after I talked to our members, and we decided, and we told them this, that that would be fine if they came. We were going to have donuts and Subway sandwiches available for them, soda and other drinks available, and we would welcome them, and they could stand outside of our church and picket all they wanted to. Because we knew we had the truth, we did not have to be afraid, and when we said that, they decided there was no need to come. We must not be afraid to graciously welcome sinners into the observation of God, because I believe in the gospel. It changes people's lives. And if we will share the gospel and share our testimony, we will see lives changed. That's the message that we share. And the day of the Christian, listen to me, if you've already turned me off, make sure you listen to this. The day of the Christian who does not know what he or she believes or why he or she believes it is over, if it ever existed. We must dig deeply into the Word of God and know that we are bathed in its truth, and not be ashamed to, in Sunday school classes and discipleship classes, ask questions so that we can know the truth and know why we believe what we believe. David Platt reminded us last week that we need to share the gospel with over 2 billion persons who currently have no access to it. We also must share it among the 5 billion persons who have some access, or in some cases, unlimited access. But that task is at our feet. Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. He says to him, keep at the role for which God has called you into his work. Complete your calling. Do not rest until the task is done. And so I want to challenge you today. Who among us will take up the challenge? We have young people in our church who feel like they are called to missions, and yet they need financial support to take the steps that are necessary to go to the field. Who will come alongside of our young adults who say, God has called me, I want to apply for mission service, but I need people who will rally around me and support me in prayer with seriousness while I go. We cannot leave the missionaries to do the work for us. We are all missionaries. And somehow, some way, we must get into the fight, because the fight indeed does matter. Listen to how it matters to Jody and Sarah Fox. They were commissioned last week here at our church and are missionaries to Niger in West Africa. These are the words of Jody. As I was praying for the sum of our people in our village, my mind drifted to the memory of one particular woman. I called her the woman at the well because she worked at one of the water pumps in our village. She had the key to unlock the pump, and when she was there, women and children would come to the pump to fill their buckets for a small fee. This pump was about 50 feet outside of our compound gate, so as you can imagine, I would see this woman often. We would greet each other and talk for a bit. Many times she asked for money, food, or medicine. She was an older woman and a widow, and I would give her some help from time to time. This last spring, a month or so before we left Buban, I realized I hadn't seen her at the pump in a while. I thought maybe she was sick or even retired from that job because of her health, so I went to her compound and peered in at the outdoor bed I had seen her resting on before. The bed was empty. So I asked a neighbor where the woman was, and the neighbor replied, "Oh, she died." I asked when, and she said it had been a while ago. As I walked back home, I realized I had never shared the gospel with that woman. I told her why I was living in the village, but I never shared clearly with her. And now it was too late. That woman lived near a Christian for the last 2 years of her life, which is unheard of for a Songhai person. And as far as I know, never heard the gospel. Maybe she watched the Jesus film we showed one night outside of our house, or maybe one of our volunteer groups shared with her. But in reality, she was my responsibility. God placed her right outside my home and put her literally right in my path, but I was silent. In John 10, we see that God's sheep will hear his voice. But what is that voice? That voice is the gospel of Christ being proclaimed by the people of God. If we are silent, people won't have an opportunity to hear. Think about the people God has placed in your path, people you work with, the parents in your child's dance class or soccer league, neighbors and family. Have you voiced the gospel into their lives, or have you been silent? I can't change the past. I certainly can't bring this woman back from the dead. I thank God for his mercy on me and his forgiveness when I have been silent. But my heart still aches at the thought of this woman and her eternal destiny. Such a sweet old woman. Why was I silent? May God help me not to be silent again. May we as the church not be silent. And let us pray this prayer together. God, give us boldness to share the gospel, for we are your voice. May we not be silent. Now, we do not condemn Jody for his failure, but neither can we be excused when we fail ourselves. There is a job to do, and we are just the ones to do it, because it really does matter. Would you pray with me? Father, I am not one who stands above my brothers and sisters here. I stand with them. And we must confess, at some point we must get serious, that it's up to us to share in whatever way best we can with those that come into our lives. So for my neighbors next to me that are becoming more and more open, it's my responsibility to share. For the neighbors on the other side who just wave, it's my responsibility to share. Would you help us, Father, not to just feel guilty or to feel overwhelmed, but to feel privileged that we can share a message that can make a difference in people's lives. However haltingly or weakly we might share it, trust that the gospel and the Holy Spirit will bring about the change. Raise us up, Father. Let us be the church. If no other church will do it, let us be the church that mobilizes everyone to be on mission for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing?